Aleph on, yes, Aleph on.
Aleph
on and on, yes, Aleph on and on.
Through eternity,
Aleph on and on.
Aleph
on and on, yes, Aleph on and on.
Through
eternity. Appreciate your presence this morning, and it's good to see each and every one of you, and we're thankful that your health is to where you're able to get out and to worship God in spirit and in truth. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, wrong is wrong. Yes, if it's wrong, it certainly is wrong to do it. It's never right to do wrong, it's never wrong to do right. We have an example here in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, of Saul, who was king over the children of Israel, who did wrong, and yet he said he did the right thing. And God punished him because of his wrong. And so we need to be careful that we do the right things, that we please God in all that we do in this life. We notice here Samuel speaking to Saul, the king of Israel. Samuel says, "Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." Then Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. It says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." Of course, David became king after Saul. But here Saul said he had obeyed the voice of the Lord, knowing that he had not obeyed, that he had done the wrong thing. People have different ideas about what is right and wrong. We know that many people in the world today are confused, and they seem to think that it's right to do wrong things. Yes, it's right or wrong. Why? Because God says so. If something's wrong, it's because God said that it was wrong. If it's right because God said it was right to do it. And so God is the one who makes the decision, and not you and I. God's word sets it straight. His word is settled in heaven. Many are like Saul, who said, "I've obeyed the voice of the Lord," when he knew that he didn't obey God. He'd kept back King Agag, and they had kept the rams and the sheep. Yes, Saul tried to blame the people for his disobedience. We can't blame others when we do wrong. We're responsible for what we do. We're going to have to give an account for what we do in this life. And so let's not try to blame others for our mistakes. In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, we notice here it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Yes, they call evil good and good evil. We know that the world today is full of people that are doing this, calling good evil and evil good. Wrong is wrong, even if I don't get caught at it. If I do something wrong and I don't get caught, that doesn't make it right. Many think that it's all right to do wrong as long as they don't get caught. Many will shoplift in the stores. They might put on new shoes and walk out the store with the new shoes on, or they'll put a dress over their other dress. I heard just the other night that there's over $80 billion of shoplifting each year. $80 billion. Hundreds of thousands are caught shoplifting. They said about 50% of the shoplifting are those who work in the stores. And so it's no wonder that things are so expensive. There's so many that are shoplifting. But it's not right. Many drive above the speed limit, and they'll fail to stop at the stop signs, and they go through red lights on purpose. Yes, today it's kind of dangerous at your red light. You have to wait and make sure that there's not two or three other cars going through the red light. And so it's not right for Christians to do this. Sometimes Christians will boast about how fast they travel, how quickly they get to a certain destination, when you know they have to break the speed limit to get there. In Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whosoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." And so we must try to obey the laws of the land and do what is right in God's sight. Man may not know when we do wrong, but God does. We might be able to hide it from others, but God knows what we do. He knows our thoughts. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 24, it says, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" And so God is omnipresent. That is, He is everywhere. He sees the secret things that are going on. He knows what we're doing at all times. God's radar is always on. Mom and Dad may not know what I'm doing, but God does. In Proverbs 15 and verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are on every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." If you have the idea that wrong isn't wrong, if you don't get caught, then you're mistaken. Yes, we may do wrong and not get caught, but God knows. Also, wrong is wrong, even if it's done for a good cause. A lot of people think, well, if it's done for a good cause, it's all right to do wrong. Some think that it's okay to do wrong if good comes from it. Saul thought it would be all right to disobey God if it was for a good cause. Yes, they kept out the rams and the sheep to offer sacrifice to God. But God had commanded them to utterly destroy all these things. And he says it's better to obey God than offer sacrifices. Yes, here in 1 Samuel 15, verse 21 and 22, says, "But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Then Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And so a person might steal money and say, well, I'm going to give this to God. Well, God doesn't want us to steal for any reason. Some say, well, let us do evil that good may come from it. In Romans, the third chapter, Paul writing to the Romans, and he was condemning them because of their sins. And he says, and why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. And so they're saying, let us do good that evil. Let us do evil that good may come from it. And so it's not right to do evil for any reason. Some say it's okay to do wrong if it's for charity, like selling chances to raise money, maybe for a ball team. Your children might be on a team or something, and they say, oh, we want to sell these chances. It's gambling, and we shouldn't have anything to do with gambling. Some buy lottery tickets, and they'll say, well, some of the money goes to the schools. Well, that doesn't make it right. If it's gambling, it's wrong. If it's any kind of gambling. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And so when we transgress God's law, we go beyond or we fall short, it is sin. And so let's not think that we can do certain things that are wrong because maybe they're for a good cause. We never have the right to do wrong for a good cause. Also, wrong is wrong even if others do worse. Yes, Brother Neil, I believe, brought this out in the Bible study. Others may do worse than we do, and therefore we try to justify ourselves and when we do wrong things. Do we say or think, I know others that do more wrongs than I do? Sister so-and-so, maybe she wears less clothes than I do, so I don't have to dress decently. Brother so-and-so, he stays at home from services more than I do. Well, that doesn't make it right. If we willfully forsake the assembly, we're sinning against God. Jesus is our example, and not maybe a weak brother or sister in Christ. Because someone else is weak doesn't give us the right to be weak. We're to be faithful, to be strong Christians. Is a thief justified because he's not a murderer? Being a murderer may be worse than a thief, but still stealing is not right. It's wrong. In Proverbs 28 and verse 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And so we're not to try to hide our sins, but he says we're to confess them and forsake them and pray to God that he'll forgive us. Let's not compare ourselves with someone else. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, he says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. And so we're not being wise when we're trying to compare ourselves with someone else. God wants us to rebuke those who are in sin and not follow their example. Jesus is our example. We're to follow him and be like him and not compare ourselves with others. We know the church at Corinth, there's a man there that was guilty of fornication. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5 and 6. It says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? And so it spreads. Sin and evil spreads. If one brother is guilty of sin and continues in sin, there's a good chance that some other brother or sister will see that and follow their example. Also, wrong is wrong even if our conscience is good. If we do something that's wrong and it doesn't bother our conscience, that doesn't make it right. Men say, well, let your conscience be your guide. Well, God's word is to be our guide. We need to be careful that our conscience is according to God's word. The terrorists who killed thousands at the World Trade Center, they were thought they were doing a good thing, that they would be rewarded in the future life because they did what they did, flying those planes into those buildings, and thousands died. Yes, they thought they would be rewarded for that. They thought they were doing the right thing. Their conscience, I'm sure, didn't condemn them. Others kill innocent people and can sleep with a clear conscience. Millions of innocent babies are aborted and killed, and I'm sure that some people do not, their conscience doesn't condemn them. Religiously, many believe that as long as their conscience doesn't bother them, they're okay. But what does God say about it? Saul or Paul, before his conversion, thought that he should have Christians put in prison and put to death. He said, indeed, I myself thought that I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. When they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Yes, Paul had a part in putting Christians to death, persecuting the church, and his conscience didn't bother him. In Acts 24, verse 16, says, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. In Acts 23 and 1, he says, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And so he thought he was doing God's service. He was doing the right thing and having Christians put to death. We must let the word of God be our guide and not our conscience. Yes, if it's wrong, it's wrong, no matter if our conscience bothers us or not. Also, wrong is wrong, even if it's considered acceptable by most people. That doesn't make it right because the majority approves of something. The lottery is acceptable to most people. Most people buy lottery tickets. They hope to be millionaires. They're planning to spend millions of dollars and build a place in Cincinnati for gambling. They already have the casinos over in Indiana. They're going to bring them over in Cincinnati. Well, that doesn't make it right because they do it in Indiana and other places. Gambling is covetousness. It's greed. It's the love of money that causes people to gamble. My wife and I belong to a senior center, and I exercise over there. But they have trips, and it seems like a lot of the seniors, they want to go to these casinos. Most of their trips are to the casinos. They want to gamble. They become addicted to gambling. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money, the root of all evil, the greediness. Alcohol is accepted maybe by most people, that it's all right to drink, especially social drinking. In Proverbs 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Yes, drinking and getting drunk is condemned in the Word of God. Because it's acceptable, doesn't make it right. Some members of the church think they can drink sociably. They keep alcohol in the refrigerator. In Romans 13 and 13, it says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Abortion is acceptable to many people today. More and more people think it's okay. But the Bible says that life begins at conception. In Luke 2 and verse 21, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Yes, Jesus existed when he was conceived in the womb, the baby. Yes, when she conceived, she was with child. Murderers will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity if they don't repent of it. Because something is acceptable by most people doesn't make it right. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, marriage of men with men, women with women, is becoming more acceptable today. More and more states are going to vote that it's all right for men to marry men, women to marry women. We know that several years back we wouldn't think of something this is never happening. What about letting animals get married? What's the difference? In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. They will not receive the kingdom or eternal life." The world acceptance of things doesn't make it right. If God's word condemns it, then it's wrong, and we must not do it. Wrong is wrong because God said so. Also, wrong is wrong even if I or mine do it. Yes, if I do something, that doesn't make it right. If my child does something, that doesn't make it right. Sometimes blood is thicker than truth, and they'll take sides with their child or with someone else that is in sin rather than have the truth. And so we must be impartial, no double standard. If your wife, your husband, your son or daughter, brother or sister is doing wrong, do we overlook it as though it's not happening? At Corinth, a brother was guilty of fornication, and they were doing nothing about it. They were overlooking that, and Paul rebuked them. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, he says, "And you're puffed up, have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you." He says, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" And so here they were just overlooking this brother in fornication. And Paul tells them they should rebuke that man. And of course, that man did repent in the second letter to the Corinthians. Are we a strong defender of the faith until I or mine do it? If your wife forsakes the assembly, do you just overlook it as though it's not important? Do we condemn liberalism until our son or daughter, brother or sister is in a liberal church? Does that make it right because those in our family are in liberalism? We must be consistent in what we do and not compromise the truth. Wrong is wrong, even if I don't get caught in doing it. It's wrong even if it's done for a good cause, for charity. Even if others are worse than I am, it doesn't make it right. Even if our conscience is good, it doesn't make it right if God condemns it. Even if it's considered acceptable by most people, that doesn't make it right. Even if I or mine do it, it doesn't make it right. Wrong is always wrong. And so let's be careful that as Christians we do the right thing. Jesus said the truth will make you free. The wrong things will condemn us. Right is always right. So to please God, let's always do the right thing and not the wrong. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to do the right thing. He wants you to obey the gospel. You must have faith in God. Believe that He is. You must repent of all your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then be baptized to wash away your sins in the blood of Christ. And the Lord will add you to His church. And then be faithful in doing the right things, and heaven will be your home. And so if you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing the song?